Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And today is Sunday, April 9th, 2023. It's 7 p.m. here Eastern Time on New Visions Radio. We're glad you're with us this evening. So the weather's been really nice here, Ed. It's been beautiful.
Yes, it's springtime. The trees are blooming, the fruit trees, all the flowers are coming out.
The colors are amazing. Yeah. You know, that's one thing about where we live here in Stanton, Virginia, in the Shenandoah Valley. The springtime is beautiful and the autumn is so pretty. Or you're laughing at me.
Well, I grew up in Michigan, and I had a lady that was my supervisor at the job I had when I was in high school. And she was from the Shenandoah Valley.
Yeah.
And she was not happy with Michigan. She so there's nothing like the Shenandoah Valley.
It is a beautiful place. Yeah. And we experience all four seasons, and it's very mild. It's not as extreme as it is in the far north or south. But, you know, friends, we're really glad you're here. And before we get started, we want to thank Ray Powers for allowing us to be a part of this New Visions Radio family and be here each and every week. And just to tell you a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, Ed, could you just fill us in a little bit about what we do with this ministry?
Sure. We're a little ministry located in Stanton, Virginia. We've been in existence since about 2012. And we have meetings on Wednesday evenings, a Bible study. It's actually a combination prayer meeting and Bible study. Mm-hmm. And that's at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And that is a meeting where we have a Zoom access as well.
Right.
And then on Saturday, or the Sabbath, the biblical Sabbath, we meet at 9:30 again for our Bible study. And then at 11 o'clock, we have our worship hour.
Yes. And if you would like to join us for that worship, you can find the link to the live stream of the Sabbath School and the Worship at prophecyhope.com. That's where you find it.
Right. And there's also a Zoom link to Sabbath School as well, or Bible study.
Yes. Now, that's not posted online, so if you would like to join that group, all you have to do is email one of us. You can email Ed.
At prophecyhope.com.
Or you can email me at mark@prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, just a general inquiry, it's office@prophecyhope.com. Now, for some of you, if you have emailed us over the last couple of weeks, you know, we're in April of 2023, we've been having some email issues. We finally, by God's grace, have that worked out.
Amen.
So now if you email us, we should be able to get it. And I want to apologize if anybody's sent anything. If we haven't replied, resend it, and we will try to be right on top of that. Also, you know, we wanted to let you know that there are a lot of sermons on the Prophecy Hope website, and you can find these radio programs archived there.
Right.
Still having some issues with the backside of the website, getting these later programs on, but we're working on it. It's just been a lot of work.
Yeah.
And so, did you have a thought, Ed? Something?
No, it's just it's so wonderful to be able to not only do things, quote, live on the radio, but to have a version of these where people can go refer back to them. Maybe they missed a program here and there.
Right. That's right. So, you know, a lot of people, they call these podcasts.
Yeah.
And so we archive them there on the website. And, you know, it's hard to believe that we've been a part of this New Visions Radio family since they started.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Rick and I were starting these when we were on the first month they started.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it was such a blessing. And it's really good to be here. You know, Rick... Ed and I are, believe it or not, we're retired, even though we're so young.
And right. I'm semi-retired now.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. You still work part-time, don't you?
I went back to work a little bit. Couldn't stand it.
And Rick's still working. He's still working, so that's why it's kind of hard for us to get in the studio at the same time. But, you know, to get started, we've been studying the book of Acts recently. So to get us started, before we begin, Ed, if you would open with a word of prayer for us.
Sure. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're grateful for this time we can spend together in your word, the Bible. Father, we look for direction in our lives through your word, through hope and peace in our lives, in spite of what's going on in the world around us, and there's a lot going on. So, Father, as we study these words today, may you open our hearts and minds to see how they can help us in our lives, and that we can see the love that you have for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You know, Ed, we were, over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the ministry of Paul and some of the things that took place, the miracles that were done.
Right.
And you gave a personal testimony last week about something that was miraculous in your life that happened.
You know, miracles just don't happen in, quote, biblical times. They happen today in the biblical times of today.
Now, when you say that, what do you mean when you say the biblical times of today?
Well, the Bible prophecies haven't all been fulfilled.
That's true.
Christ hasn't come again yet.
You're right. So we're still living in biblical times.
Yes.
So when people say back in biblical times, we could say, you mean now or before? Because we are still living in biblical times.
So you were sharing something with me earlier about something that happened recently.
Yes. In fact, it just today it happened. I had... I'm part of another ministry, and I had done a particular video, and somebody had replied to that video because I made a statement. And they wanted to know, they wanted written proof of that.
Right.
And I said, okay, I know I can get that for you, but it's going to take me a while to get it because the archives you have to go through to find it. And believe it or not, within just, that was just about 2 days ago. And just this morning, somebody had sent me a picture of exactly what I'm looking for because they were dealing with somebody else, and they said, hey, look at what this person said. And I looked at it. It's actually in their publication, in their book. And I thought, how is that? How did that happen?
This person didn't know you were looking for that.
No, this young lady is actually in South Africa. She's in another part of the world, and we hadn't even talked about this. And she's somebody that I've studied with.
Right.
We've studied together, and we do that via WhatsApp, which is a great way to communicate. And just out of the blue, you know, that's what we say, but miraculously, we could say, she sent me that, and it just saved me hours and hours.
Right.
And when I saw it, I knew that I had read that before, and she sent it right to me. It's just amazing.
Wow.
And so I actually called her this morning on WhatsApp, and I said, you just saved me so much work. And I told her what happened. She says, well, that's God at work. That's what that is.
It shows you how God is intimately involved in our lives.
Absolutely. And so not only was that an encouragement to me, and bolstered my faith, it bolstered her faith, and we have an answer to this person that was asking a question.
Yeah.
So what a tremendous testament that is.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to share that. Thanks for asking me about that.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got to share that. So we have been studying Acts, and where did we leave off last
week? Well, we're going to start in Acts 21 today.
Okay, all right.
And we may not spend a lot of time in Acts 21, but I think it's important to just read over what Paul is experiencing on his missionary journeys and how he was going from place to place. And he wasn't stopping. He didn't take a vacation. He didn't take a break. He just kept on going. And just some little details about what's happening here in Acts 21. So, Mark, if you don't mind reading, can you read verses 1 through 16 for us?
Absolutely. So this is Acts chapter 21. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass that when we had departed from them that and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Kos, the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left, sailed to Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload her cargo." So he's sailing here, right? And then verse 4, "And finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul, through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. When he had come up to the end of those days, we departed and went our way, and they accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave of one another, we boarded the ship, and they returned home. When we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to let's see, let me read, let me look at that. It looks like Ptolemaeus.
Okay.
Greeted the brethren and stayed with them one day. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. I want to just pause for a moment. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is Luke that's recording this for us. Luke was the one who wrote the book of Acts. Were you going to comment something also?
We will come back to this.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. Now, this verse 9. Now, this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." And after those days, we packed and went up to Jerusalem. Also, some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us and brought with them a certain Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we were to lodge.
Okay, as you can see through this section in Acts 21, Paul was very active. He was moving around. He was visiting a lot of places. He was sailing on multiple ships to get where he needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was interesting that in these travels mentioned here in the first part of Acts 21, there are several people telling Paul that he shouldn't go to Jerusalem.
Right.
You know, in verse 4 we find that. Finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Then in verse 11, this man Agabus, taking Paul's belt, binding his hands and feet, he said, "The Holy Spirit says these things. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man whose belt this is, and will deliver him into the hands of the nations," or the Gentiles.
Right.
And we read this earlier on in Acts in the,
yes,
in the past
did.
Versions of the program that we've done. So Paul's response in verse 13 is interesting. He says, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart?" You know, he doesn't want them to feel that way for him.
Right.
"For I'm not ready only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus."
Hmm.
This is his attitude. Just consider his life so far. He was first a Pharisee, persecuting severely the Church of God.
Yes.
And then he was converted by Jesus himself through his trip on the road to Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as he started preaching the gospel, how many times has he been stoned and beaten and ridiculed and, you know, through all these years of his travels.
Right.
You know, so here he's saying, "I'm not only ready to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So, you know, I think we should maybe pause here and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
And investigate a little bit more about what he's talking about.
Okay.
2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Okay.
And I want to look at the first maybe 1 to 10 verses here. And let me go ahead and read that if you don't mind.
No, please.
As long as I can get to 2 Corinthians.
And you're reading from the New King James. Or no, the
modern
King James. That's right.
Okay, starting in verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heavens." Let's go ahead and stop here. What is he talking about, this earthly house of this tabernacle?
Well, I think You know, if we know what Paul is talking about, and if we look at the book of Hebrews, there's a heavenly sanctuary and there's an earthly sanctuary. But when he's speaking about some of these things, a house, when it says an eternal in the heavens, to me that looks like when it says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed," talking about our body,
yes.
I would think. He's talking
yes.
about us literally. He's comparing our bodies to the Old Testament sanctuary or tabernacle.
Well, you know, when he's looking at this earthly house, his body were to be dissolved when he dies.
Right.
That he's going to experience a heavenly body, a heavenly
He'll
tabernacle.
Be given a glorified body.
Yeah, eternal in the heavens.
Right.
And so and we continue on verse 2, "For indeed in this we groan earnestly, being desiring to be clothed with our dwelling place out of heaven. If indeed being clothed, we shall not be found naked."
Right. That's interesting because if
yes.
you remember in the Old Testament, when Adam and Eve sinned, they recognized they were naked.
Yeah, even though they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves.
Yeah,
they
something
were still
changed,
naked.
Didn't it?
So there's something wrong with this earthly body that we have.
Yes, it is.
It's mortal. It will die.
Yes.
But our heavenly life, our heavenly body that we're going to receive when Christ comes again will be eternal.
It'll be immortal.
Yes.
Right? That's what the next verse actually tells us.
Yeah. Verse 4, "For we who are in this tabernacle groan, being burdened, insomuch as we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that this mortal might be swallowed up by life." You know, he doesn't say, "I don't want to have a body."
Right.
It's just what body he wants is the heavenly one.
Right.
Verse 5, "And he who has worked in us for the same thing is God, who also is giving to us the earnest of the Spirit," that down payment, that guarantee of mm-hmm. the Spirit.
Mine uses the word guarantee.
Okay. Verse 6, "Then being always confident, knowing that we will, while we are at home in the body, we are away from home with the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Then we are confident and we are pleased rather to go away from home out of the body and to come home in the Lord." Here's what he's saying. I'd rather be with Jesus in my heavenly body.
Mm-hmm.
This earthly body is decaying. It's have all kinds of problems.
And it separates us from Christ.
Yeah. And so he's desiring to be with Christ.
Mm.
Verse 9, "Therefore we are also laboring to be well-pleasing to him, whether at home or away from home. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive the things done through the body, according to that which he has done, whether good or bad." So we have a brother that's been attending our church for maybe a little over a year now.
Yeah, about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We studied this text, and it changed his understanding.
It did.
Yes,
it did.
Because he understood, Paul's just talking about wanting, desiring that heavenly body.
Yes. Just this past Sabbath, he was talking about how he appreciated that message, wasn't he?
Yes.
And that's exciting to
yeah.
me.
So when we look at what Paul's talking about in Acts 21, I'm willing to die
right.
so I can be with Christ. I desire to be with Christ. Just remember what his experience has been on this earth in this earthly body mm-hmm. that he's had so far. And all the hardships and trials. And I mean, he was stoned to the point people thought he was dead.
That's right.
Stoned with rocks.
That's true.
People throwing
yeah.
rocks at him.
Absolutely. So, you know, when we look at this account, the comment that I made back when we first started this chapter about the sanctuary, you know, our bodies are called the temple of God's Spirit.
Yes.
So when I look at the Old Testament sanctuary and the heavenly sanctuary,
right.
you know, I think about God is going to, he says he will dwell in us. So
yes.
there's no need for the temple anymore
right.
that, as we know it. So I was just kind of drawing the conclusion that, again, that earthly temple was temporary.
Yes.
So
yes.
The heavenly temple or sanctuary is eternal.
Yeah.
So we can relate these two things.
Right.
It's really quite beautiful when you think about it that way. Yeah. And he was giving us the picture of the plan of salvation there and really showing that we could be clothed with the righteousness of Christ,
right,
which gives us this immortality. And he's talking about being naked on this earth,
yes,
but being clothed with the righteousness,
right,
of Jesus. It's so beautiful.
Yes. So when we looked at Acts 21:11, and Paul's response to that prophecy by Agabus that he would be bound, you know, this is what he's talking about. He desires to do God's will, but he also has the desire to be in God's presence, in,
yes,
his son's presence, and to be with Christ.
Yes, he does.
You know, and the more you look at the world around you, and maybe the longer you live your life, the things on earth aren't as shiny, as bright, and desirable as they used to be.
Very true. That is so true. The things that I used to like, I look back and they're foolishness to me,
yeah,
now. And I'm sure that things that I like today, if this world continues, I'll look back in 5 or 10 years and say, well, that was foolish,
yeah,
too.
They don't have the same value as they once did in your life.
No, they don't.
In fact, some of them have no value anymore.
And very true. Very true. And, you know, another thing that I would like to point out here in this chapter 21, the impact that Paul's ministry must have had on people. Because if you notice in verse 5, it says, when he had come to the end of those days, we departed and went our way, and they all accompanied us with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we knelt down on the shore and prayed. What an impact he had on the lives of all of these people.
This is a daily, common living out of the gospel that Paul does with his life.
Yes.
It's not just a pretense. It's from his heart. This is how he lives his life. This is what he believes. This is what his mission is on this earth. And he lives those things with everybody he comes into contact with.
You know, this seems to be part of the character of Paul, because when he was Saul, he was living what he really,
yes,
believed was right.
Yes.
And this is just his personality. And
yeah,
and now that he has met Jesus Christ, he's overcome, and he's just,
yes,
going into to tell everybody that he can about these things.
Right. I want to share one other little tidbit in Acts 21:8.
Sure.
It talked about entering the house of Philip the evangelist, he being of the seven, that we stayed with him. What's this he being of the seven about?
Well, I think if back here earlier, doesn't it name a bunch of the ones that they were with, that they actually went with? Is this what you're talking about?
No, let's go back to Acts 6,
okay,
chapter 6.
Wow, we're going way back in Acts.
Yeah, and if you could read verses 1 through 7.
All right.
It will tell us what is being talked about here. This is Philip, the evangelist, being of the seven.
Okay. So here we go. Acts chapter 6, beginning, you said 1 through 7?
7, yes.
All right. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution.
Hellenists were Greek believers, right?
Yes,
okay,
they were. It says in verse 2, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we would leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they say before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. The word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith.
So this Philip, the evangelist, mentioned in Acts 21:8, is one of the first, I guess we could say, deacons in the church.
Yeah, we could say that, couldn't we? Yeah. So these were the names. I couldn't remember where it was, but these were the names.
Right.
And yes, that's exactly right. We could call them deacons,
yeah,
for sure.
You know, when this man Agabus made this prophecy about Paul being bound in Jerusalem, and then Paul's response, and then in Acts 14, the people that were trying to persuade him not to go to Jerusalem say, and he not being persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done.
What verse are you in there?
That's 14.
Is that, of chapter 21?
Chapter 21.
Okay, I'm sorry, I went to Acts 14. I was thinking, okay, there we go.
So, you know, even though these people realized Paul wasn't going to listen to what they wanted him to do,
mm-hmm,
they still said, the will of the Lord be done. How often do you say that in your life when things don't go your way, the will of the Lord be done?
You know, this is what we should strive for.
Yeah.
Always the will of the Lord, because the will of the Lord is the will of the Father, right? So if we have this attitude in our lives, even when things go wrong, what we consider wrong, if we're in... Did things go wrong when Jesus was on the earth and he was going to die for our sins?
Right.
No, that's how it was supposed to work out.
Right.
That was the will of the Father.
Yeah, even though it was devastating to those believers at that time.
Right. So if we're in the Lord's hands and we're doing the will of the Lord, whatever the outcome, it's for the best.
You have to have trust and faith in God and his Son to understand that they know what's best for your life, and you may not understand what's going on.
So true.
But if you put your faith and trust in them, they will guide you through these difficult times.
Yeah, you know, go ahead.
You know, let's face it, we're mortals on this earth.
We are.
At some point, if Christ doesn't come, we're all going to die. We're all going to face that moment of taking our last breath.
Yeah, we will. That's just the way this world is, the sinful world. But we have a promise. We have hope.
Yes.
And, you know, this is something that just came up recently in a Bible study. Somebody was saying that, you know, I have a relative and I don't know if they died in Christ or not, you know. And so here, what I said to them is, you know, if we develop a relationship with the Father and his Son and we trust them, we know that God is a just God.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also a merciful God,
yes,
and he's a loving God. And whatever the outcome, whether we will see them again or not, once you develop that relationship with God and his Son, you recognize that it's going to be the right decision.
Yes.
And I'm content with leaving it at that.
Right.
Because I know that whatever decision they make, when we get to the kingdom, I feel like I'm going to be content with that decision.
Right.
But how do you say that if you don't have that relationship?
Right.
How can I say I'm going to be content if my uncle isn't there?
It's not like you're going to be not sad or
right,
sorrowful if you lose the loved one. That's
right,
just a normal reaction.
It is.
But to help you through that, you know, put your faith and trust in God that he knows what's best for each one of us that live on this earth and that we can know that he's faithful to us.
Yes, and that's what we see in verse 14 of Acts 21. They put their complete trust in him.
Right.
So
let's continue on in Acts 21.
Okay.
And Mark, if you can, again, read verses 17 through 26 for us.
All right. Acts 21, beginning in verse 17, it says, "And when he had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. When he had greeted them, he told in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and they said to him, 'You see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. But they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children nor walk according to the customs. What then? The assembly must certainly meet, for they will hear that you have come. Therefore, do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Take them and be purified with them, and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads, and that all may know that those things of which they were informed concerning you are nothing, but that you yourself also walk orderly and keep the law. But concerning the Gentiles who believe, we have written and decided that they should observe no such thing, except that they should keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. How far did you want
to
me to
26.
Read? Okay. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, having been purified with them, entered the temple to announce the expiration of the days of purification, at which time an offering should be made for each one of them.
So in this section that you just read, Mark, who's involved in this conversation?
Well, let's see. Let's back up here and take a look. It says, and where am I?
17 and 18.
I started, yes, that's where I was trying to figure out where I started. It says, on the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. So these are actually people that are directors in the church, we could say.
These are the apostles.
Yeah.
The disciples of Christ.
Right.
James and Peter and John, and I'm not sure who all was there. It only mentioned James, but Paul was having a conversation with them, and they were saying, you know, a lot of people are upset with you because they hear that you're telling people not to be circumcised and not to follow the law of Moses. And they want Paul to kind of clarify things to people and to take a vow of purification to show that he's sincere.
Right.
And the apostles say, in verse 24, that all may know what they have been told about you is nothing or not true, but you yourself also walk orderly and keep the law. As to the nations, talking about the Gentiles, non-Jews, who believe, we join in writing, judging them to observe no such things, except only that they keep themselves from both idol sacrifice and blood and a thing strangled and from fornication. Mm. So, Paul, in his preaching and in his missionary experience, frequently comes across people that talk against him.
Yes,
and what
of course.
He teaches.
He does.
And we see this being addressed in the book of Galatians a lot.
And, you know, we see that a lot of these people, they're still living under the law of Moses,
right,
rather than under the new covenant.
Right.
They're not recognizing that Christ had fulfilled the things that pointed to him.
Right. So when he talks about this in Galatians, especially in chapter 3, he says, you know, how are the ones who started by being obedient to the Spirit have gone back to trying to be saved by keeping the law?
Mm.
And he talks about the issues that you're not saved by keeping the law.
Right.
And what he's talking about, if you would go on to Galatians 5, is basically overcoming sin in your life. Sin is the transgression of God's law. And you can't do that by just by yourself trying to keep the law.
Right.
Because you and I both have experienced failure of trying to do that on our own self.
Absolutely.
It's through being given the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, the Spirit of Christ.
Right.
By whom we receive God's Spirit, that we can become overcomers, that we can walk in the fruit of the Spirit.
Sure. Did you want to take a moment and look at Galatians 3 since you've mentioned it? Or did you want to stay here in Acts?
It's up to you. It might not hurt.
It might help to sound some things down for, you know, some of the people who listen on a regular basis probably have heard this before.
Multiple times, yeah.
But some of you who are tuning in for the first time might say, what do you mean, Galatians 3? So where would we go there, Ed?
At the beginning of chapter 3.
Right at the start.
So let's just set the stage a little bit clearer,
sure.
So Paul is telling, he's very frustrated with people, with the Jews especially, because they are insisting that the Gentiles be circumcised.
Right.
That they follow these other religious laws.
Purification laws and things like that.
Yeah.
Right.
And saying that you have to do this in order to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just saying, you guys don't understand what salvation is all about.
Right.
And so here he begins the explanation of that. Let's just read verses 1 through 9
okay.
to start with.
All right. Are you going to read that, or do you want me to read it?
Why don't you go ahead and read that?
Okay. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. It says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham."
All right, so let's look and see what Paul is saying here. Verse 2 is key for understanding pretty much the whole book of Galatians. It says, "This only I would learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith?"
Mm-hmm.
So evidently, receiving the Spirit is essential to the Christian faith.
Yes.
And he's saying, how do you receive that? Do you receive that by keeping the law?
No.
Or by hearing of faith? And he goes on in verse 3, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, having begun in the hearing of faith by receiving the Spirit, do you now try to switch and try to be perfect yourself in the flesh by being obedient to the law, like circumcision and all the other traditional laws of the Jewish nation?"
Mm-hmm.
He goes on in verse 5, "Then he is supplying the Spirit to you, who baptizes us with the Spirit?"
Jesus does.
It's Christ.
Yeah.
"So he, being Christ, supplying the Spirit to you and working powerful works in you, is it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith?"
Mm.
So he's saying you have to believe. You have to receive, you know, the Spirit by faith. And he gives you an example. The example of Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. "Therefore, know that those of faith," verse 7, "these are the sons of Abraham."
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8, "In the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations," or the Gentiles, "through faith, preached the gospel before to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all nations be blessed.' So then those of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." So let's go on and read what that blessing is. Can you read verses 10 through 14?
Sure. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith."
So this is the blessing of Abraham to the nations in Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
or we could say through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Remember, the key text is verse 2, where it says, how do you receive the Spirit? Is it by works of the law or by hearing of faith?
So this is the same message that we're seeing in Acts chapter
yes.
21, isn't it?
Yes.
Same message.
Yes.
So this is pretty amazing when you put these things together.
And let me read verses 15 and 16 of Galatians 3.
Yeah.
"Brothers, I speak according to men, to a man, a covenant having been ratified, even among mankind. No one sets aside or adds to it. And to Abraham and to his seed the promises were spoken. does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. So this promise of blessing through to all the nations through Christ was a promise given to Abraham and his seed being singular, and that seed being Christ.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what, if the modern King James does this, but I use the Thomas Nelson edition of the New King James. And when it says now to Abraham and his seed, that has a capital S.
Yes, mine does too.
And so that differentiates that. And then it says where the promise is made and does not say and to seeds. And that's just the normal word, seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, again, the capital S, which is Christ.
Right.
So it's differentiating there, isn't it?
Right. Now, in Galatians 3, 10 through 14, is talking about the law.
Yes, it is.
You know, Paul is saying, by circumcision will not save you.
Right.
You know, all the other religious laws that he's constantly fighting against in terms of eating sacrifices given to idols and so on and so forth, those things won't save you.
Right.
He's not saying, don't obey the law of God.
No, he's not.
He's just saying that doing these things, for one thing, no one's been able to fully obey the law of God. All have sinned.
Except for one.
But for Christ, yeah. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know that sin is transgression of God's law.
Yes.
So he's trying to point us to the way of salvation. And that way is through receiving the Spirit by faith. So let's look at what receiving the Spirit is all about in Galatians chapter 5.
Okay, real quick, before we go there,
all right.
I just wanted to point out, you know, you said the way to salvation. You know, that's Jesus Christ,
yes.
The way, the truth, the life. Verse 13 in Galatians 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Yes.
And then it tells us, having become a curse for us. So in other words, the curse of the law is death.
Death. Yes.
And Christ died for us. He died the death that we deserve.
Yes.
So he didn't take away the law. He fulfilled those things that pointed to him.
Yes, and he took the penalty of the law for us.
Yes.
So that he became sin for us so that we could have the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus.
Yes, and that makes us able to stand before God.
Yes.
And really, that means that when Christ comes, if we have the Spirit of Christ in us, that we can be translated and stand before him. What Paul was asking for in Acts 21, what we read earlier, right? Or actually, 2 Corinthians 5,
yes.
2 Corinthians 5.
You want to be at home in the heavenly body
in
with
the
Christ.
In the presence of the Father.
So let's see what having the Spirit does for us that allows us to receive this righteousness and changes our lives, actually, in Galatians 5.
Okay.
Those that have followed this program have heard this before, but let's talk about it again. Let's verses 16 through the end of the chapter. Mark, do you mind reading that for us?
I don't mind at all. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
So far in Galatians 3, we understand that you don't receive the Spirit by keeping the law, but it's through faith. Faith in God and faith in Christ. We see that this blessing to all the nations given to Abraham and to his seed was the blessing of the Spirit, the promise of the Spirit, and his seed being singular, being Christ. We know that John the Baptist tells us that Christ is the one that's going to be baptizing with the Spirit.
Right.
And so the results of that, of receiving that Spirit of Christ, is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. There's no law against doing those
right.
things. God's law is obviously still intact, because in the works of the flesh, all these things, Paul says,
contrary to the law.
Yeah, those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
So this is what I like to call the second half of the gospel story. Mm. The first half being reconciled to God through the death of Christ.
Or
on the
justified.
Cross. Justification. Right? And now this is the second half, experiencing the change of knowing in your life, of knowing Christ and his Father.
The sanctification.
Sanctification.
Process,
change right? in life. Now, some may be listening and say, you gotta be crazy. This can't happen.
Yeah.
But it can. It does happen.
It happens daily.
You are a witness of it, and I'm a witness of it.
Amen.
God has changed us through his Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And this is what God desires to do in your life and my life for our benefit, for our well-being, to have a better life on this earth, let alone to experience eternal life
right.
once Christ comes again.
And the beauty of it is when this fruitage is in you and you have developed it and you're a part of Christ Jesus and you're partaking of him, then these other things just kind of go away. They dissolve. And
yes.
And it's a way that Christ helps us to overcome, and we don't have to do it in ourselves.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Now, this isn't an instantaneous change.
No,
it takes time, and it takes continued prayer.
Daily.
And
hourly.
And interaction with God and his Son, Jesus Christ, and Bible study, and supporting each other's in terms of being brothers and sisters in Christ. But it's an experience you will experience personally.
Yes.
As you begin this Christian walk.
And I can't, one of the things you just mentioned, Ed, is a Christian family, having brothers and sisters
yes.
to be able to interact with and share your testimonies
yes.
with. Because when you share those things, when you express the things that have happened to you to others, it not only encourages them, but it re-bolsters your faith. It builds you up to mm-hmm. talk about those things.
So Paul in Acts 21 is trying to separate the act of saving oneself mm-hmm. or self-righteousness through keeping these laws of circumcision and so on.
Right.
Not that there's anything wrong with circumcision
right.
or doing these things, but you can't receive the Spirit by doing those things. It's through faith that you receive the Spirit. So that's what his big fight was against, because he wants everyone to experience salvation and eternal life, but not only eternal life, but a changed life on this earth as well.
Right. In other words, we can have part of the kingdom of heaven even here on the earth today, because
yep.
we can have that kingdom in our heart.
Peter calls it being partakers of the divine nature.
That's right, he does.
By experiencing Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Which is in Colossians
1, right? 26 and 27.
So this is something too, you know, in order to, the other thing is this, a lot of people, they want that change, but they want to stay maybe where they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not change.
You know, unfortunately, maybe I shouldn't say unfortunately, maybe fortunately, when you decide to give your life to Christ, those people that you hung out with before may not want to be around you anymore.
True.
But then again, you may not have their influences that direct you away from Christ and his word and God's word and that way of living.
Yeah.
It brings about drastic change.
Yeah, and I know that you personally have interacted with someone who this has happened to them.
Yes.
And it's a life-changing thing, but at the same time, while it was sad at the moment, the fruitage that comes from those ties, those people breaking off from you, it helps us to grow.
Right. And it's not like you can't continue to converse with them and witness to them and try to point them to God's Word. Because this person you're talking about has done that, and this person has experienced such an attack, continuous attack by Satan, continually. And I'm just amazed how much this person's faith has grown through this experience. It's mind-boggling what this person has gone through.
Yeah, God is so good.
And this person still continues to want to follow Christ and his Father and their Word, the Bible.
You know, sometimes even in ministry, not just as individuals, but even here at this ministry, we've had people come in off the street that will come and visit, and they'll enjoy the fellowship and the friendships, and they will start maybe saying or trying to teach something contrary
to what God's Word says.
To what the Bible says. Yeah. And what do we do at that point, Ed?
We continually point back to the words on the page of the Bible. Well, let's look and see what the Bible says.
Right.
And you just present what the Bible says. And typically, over time, no matter if it's here physically or even online through Zoom, those people will eventually leave because they can see that the Bible is teaching something that they don't want to follow, they don't believe.
Right.
And so they don't want to be here anymore.
And it's not necessarily that we want them to leave. We would love to see them understand what's written on the page.
Right.
But when they find that the fellowship is not going to change to appease other people, this is how some of our friends are.
Yes.
If my personality has changed to where, well, you know, I don't do those things anymore, but I still love you. Yeah. I'm not, you know, I don't think any less of you. This is not part of my lifestyle.
Right.
Those people may cut you off.
Yeah.
But I think it's important that we always be open, like you said, and ready to witness, ready to help them in their time of need.
Right.
Because that might be what helps them to come to Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Just helping
Seeing
them.
Christianity lived out in your life.
And it's so sad that, you know, I was one of the young ladies that I've studied with her, and she's like a daughter to me, and she doesn't live near here, and we study via Zoom. But one of the things that I've said to her a number of times is, you know, Christians give Christianity a bad name.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, that's offensive. Some might be listening and saying, well, that wasn't very nice, but it's so true.
Yeah.
Because we profess Christ Jesus, but what does our lifestyle show?
Right. I think a term for that is a nominal Christian or a Christian in name only.
Yes. And you know, this is something that if we're going to reflect the character of our Lord, then we have to be changed.
Right. And we understand this is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But, you know, as Christians, when we meet new Christians or are involved in bringing new Christians into the Church of Jesus Christ, you know, the heavenly kingdom,
right?
That we give them room to grow.
Yes.
That we allow Christ to work in their hearts and minds that cause the change that we can't change in their lives, but only Christ can.
Right. And let me clarify, when you say the Church of Jesus Christ, there is a church called that, right?
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about.
No, but you're talking about into the true Christ. And
the kingdom of God.
Right. Yeah. And so we're not talking about a denomination.
Right.
We believe that anybody in any denomination can be a part of the Church of Christ.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Part of who Jesus Christ is.
Yes.
You don't have, it's not, doesn't come with a label.
You don't have to be a member of a particular denomination.
That's right. And it doesn't say that just because somebody is a member of a particular denomination that they're not in a relationship with Jesus.
You know, who am I to judge somebody else's relationship with Christ?
Yeah, so it's amazing how sometimes we say something and it comes out. And
As soon as I said it, I go, woo.
So, yeah, we don't endorse, we're not part of any particular church denomination.
Right.
We're just an independent ministry.
Right.
And so, you know, we have a few minutes left, Ed. Did you want to wrap up this somewhere in Acts? Did you want to go back to chapter 21, or what did you have in mind?
Let's leave a cliffhanger.
Okay.
Let's read verses 27 through 36.
Of Acts chapter 21?
Chapter 21.
Did you want me to read that?
Yes, please.
Beginning in 27?
Yes.
Now when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they have previously seen Trophimus and the Ephesian with him in the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple."
A Gentile wasn't allowed into the temple.
Correct. Yeah. That's right. "And all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together, seized Paul, and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Now as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them, and when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains, and he asked who he was and what he had done. And some among the multitude cried one thing and some another. So when he could not ascertain the truth because of the tumult, he commanded him to be taken into the barracks. When he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying out, 'Away with him!'"
Wow. You know, Paul cannot stay out of trouble.
Yep.
It's just amazing what he goes through.
He has been really raked over the coals.
This is in Jerusalem, and the Jews in Jerusalem think that he's brought a Gentile into the Jewish temple at Jerusalem.
So we will pick up here, yeah. Right? I hate to cut us short,
yeah.
But we are cutting us edge short,
yeah, right?
We were out of time. And I just want to state that we will not be in the studio next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks, but there will be a program on next week. And so we'll pick up where we left off in 2 weeks, right?
Yep. See what happens to Paul here.
We'll see what happens. So let's just close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for your word, the Bible, and for this witness that the Apostle Paul made. And Father, may we be as bold as he was in proclaiming the gospel, that we can point everyone not to ourselves, but to Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, please help us in these times that we're living in to always remember these things, to call them to mind when we need to, and to live according to your word. Please be with each and every one, all of us who are tuned in here, and with those of us who are together. We ask for your spirit to be with us until we come together again. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thank you. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right. Sounds good.
And friends, we hope you tune in again next time on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.